As followers of Christ, we are encouraged towards evangelism. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16 is only one of several verses that encourages this, but it was Christ who, before he ascended into heaven, gave this directive to his apostles and disciples who were left upon the earth. He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." We as Christians today continue to take upon ourselves the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what he is no longer able to do because he does not walk this earth, but has left for us the responsibility to evangelize to all those who are lost upon this earth. For you and I, that means for those that are within the community, the ones who are our neighbors, the ones who are our family members, the ones who are our co-workers, the ones who are our fellow schoolmates. We have the responsibility to care for their souls by bringing to them the gospel. But as we think about this particular directive, and we could certainly spend a great deal of time on all of the details of this particular command, but our task at hand is becoming increasingly more difficult because people are defecting from Christianity at alarming rates within our nation today. Posted on June 17th of this year, a study by the Pew Research Center recently found that no religion has as many defectors as Christianity. By 2050, an estimated 66 million people who define themselves as Christian are expected to leave the faith. Most of them are rejoining or joining the religiously unaffiliated. It's a new category that was just listed to the numbers of religions within the world today as just a short time ago, just about 3 or 4 years ago. The religiously unaffiliated, the fastest growing religious category, expected to rise 10% by 2050. Research has shown drops in numbers in the Church of Christ as well. So we're not just talking about those groups that are lumped into the area of denominations and call themselves Christians. We're looking at these particular defectors also being present within the Lord's church. Numbers are dropping, and people are going back to the world. While there are several reasons why this is so, and I'll probably be bringing out several of these within the next year as I continue to read books in this area that talk about this and what can be done about it, we will be focusing on this one aspect for the next several weeks. Simply put, Christians claim to be followers of Christ, but they conduct themselves nothing like Christ. That's one of the problems that is being seen, and it's one of the reasons why we have so many people that are defecting from the faith of Christianity today and going back to the world. In the book titled Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity, the writer David Kinnaman led the research for the Barna Group in trying to discover why the major defection from Christianity. In one of his many reasons, he writes this: "In virtually every study we conduct, representing thousands of interviews every year, born-again Christians fail to display much attitudinal or behavioral evidence of transformed lives. For instance, based on a study done in 2007, we found that most of the lifestyle activities of born-again Christians were statistically equivalent to those of non-born-again. When asked to identify their activities over the last 30 days, born-again Christians were just as likely to bet or gamble, to visit a pornographic website, to take something that did not belong to them, to consult a medium or psychic, to physically fight or abuse someone, to have consumed enough alcohol to be considered legally drunk, to have used an illegal non-prescription drug, to have said something to someone that was not true, to have gotten back at someone for something he or she did, and to have said mean things behind another person's back. So as you can see, those that study the areas of Christianity have found that across the span of Christianity, there are a lot of people calling themselves Christians or claiming to be Christians who act nothing like Christ himself, who act nothing like what Christianity is supposed to represent, but who act very much like the rest of the world and the lost around them. The real problem with this is not only are Christians not acting like Christians, but those who are leaving Christianity are going around and spreading a negative report against Christianity to others. Those who are fed up with Christianity and interacting with those that call themselves Christians but act like the rest of the world are defecting and going, and they're spreading a negative gospel and doing some negative evangelism against Christianity. Now, I know that we could take a look at what they're saying and what they're doing, and we could certainly find holes in all the things that they're saying and all the things that they believe. But while this is not true for every Christian or congregation, we can't fight this simple fact. What people think becomes their reality. And they are preaching just as strongly against Christianity as what we need to be speaking and preaching for Christianity. So we're seeing a real problem with this today, and it's not something that we can simply ignore. It's something we have to address. And though we'll be looking at some ways and some things of the way that people are thinking against Christianity and see if there's some changes that we can make in order to show Christianity on a more positive light, we are immediately going to look at our own conduct as a starting point of what needs to be changed or what needs to be done in our own lives to reflect the Word of God and to reflect the character of Christ within our own life. Because let's face it, when we talk about evangelism on a personal level, it's certainly something that, as you've heard me say before, I think that there are several individuals in this congregation that would feel very confident and feel very good about sitting down across the table from someone, opening up the Bible and showing them the way of the Lord. But there are also many here today who probably would not have that confidence, would not feel confident enough to be able to sit down and do that very thing. And still, you can evangelize. Even if you don't have that confidence, or maybe you don't have those skills, you're evangelizing on a daily basis by the life that you live around others. The way we conduct ourselves as the heirs of God portrays a great deal about what we believe and what is our strong points within our life. It reveals a great deal about what we think about Christianity and what we think about Jesus Christ himself. You see, we, regardless of what we are attempting to do, whether we're doing it negatively or we're doing it positively, and hopefully we're doing it positively, but we are reflecting our faith on a daily basis by the life that we live. And if we want to teach others about Christ, they have to first see Christ in us. It may be that the life that you're living, the example that you're setting before others, the verbal interaction that you're doing, and also the actions that you're doing around others is teaching Christ. hopefully. And so it is that the impact you're making, whether you really feel like you want to be making an impact or not, you're making an impact. And so I think we need to take a realistic look at our lives and also note the problems that are going on and ask ourselves this morning, and we're going to be asking ourselves continually, am I truly conducting myself as a true Christian? Am I teaching Christ to others by the life that I live? Let's take a look at a few things this morning as we talk about this subject. How are true heirs of God supposed to be conducting themselves? And we're just going to look at two general areas this morning, and then we're going to break it down in the weeks to come, and we're going to get more specific with how we are to act. We're going to look at some things that we need to stay away from, and we're going to look at things that we need to be showing within our lives. And we're going to do a lot of that on the same Sunday. In other words, we'll look at the negative side of what we need to be staying away from, and then we're going to look at the positive side that we need to be exemplifying in the weeks to come. But this morning, I want us to take a look at two areas of generalities that whenever we discuss Christianity, we need to be doing. First off, we are supposed to come out of the world. You know, one of the reasons why we've got this defection going on is that people don't really see a difference. You know, they're getting involved in Christianity and they're going through the motions of Christianity, but they're not seeing any changes in the people around them. And it has to be discouraging. You know, hopefully each and every one of us can look at the face of our brothers and sisters this morning, and we can look at the lives of our brothers and sisters this morning, and we can see inspiration in one another. We ought to be inspiring one another. We're in this thing together. You know, we are a minority walking this earth. So therefore, we should gain support from one another by living the life that we live. I ought to be able to look at your life and find hope and find inspiration and find strength to continue out through the rest of this week. You ought to be able to do the same in mine. But we, in order to do that, need to come out of the world. That means don't look like the rest of the world. We're different. We're expected to be different. So therefore, we need to portray a difference in our actions and the things that we say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, Paul is saying this to a group of Christians that had a lot of problems. And a lot of their problems stem from the fact is they were still living in the world. You know, they were still acting like everybody else within their communities. And so Paul was trying to write to them and tell them what they were doing wrong and trying to correct them and encourage them to be better. He says to them, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says to them, "And such were some of you." You know, if I could look out over the audience this morning and look at myself in some areas, and I could say, "And such were some of us." You know, at one time we were all sinners. And at one time, we may have been guilty of committing some of these very things that Paul mentioned here. And it might be very well true that even after we became Christians, we might have fallen away from God and committed these things again. "But such were some of us. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, our Friday night Bible study this last week, we looked at that word sanctified. And I think that he made a great definition, the teacher did, that we were watching, whenever he mentioned the fact that sanctified means that we are set apart, but set apart to what purpose? We are set apart for the Lord. We are set apart for His purpose. And in order to be set apart for the Lord and His purpose, we have to separate ourselves from the world. We have to separate ourselves from sin and evil influences in the world. And I think Paul was writing to this group of Christians and he was telling them the same thing. You have been washed. You have been set apart. You're to be different. Not like the way you used to be. Certainly not like the way the rest of the sinners are around you. I think it's still likely that the Corinthians were suffering from the same problem we are witnessing in Christianity today. Converts wanted to be considered saved, but they didn't want to leave the world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says very simply, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. And Paul could have very well said, don't go back to conforming to the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In an article in The Atlantic this last Tuesday, the author quoted a statement made by Russell Moore. And Russell Moore is actually a Baptist minister, and he's also holds some kind of office. But, Baptists had a convention, I think, this last week, and he was talking about some of the things that are confronting the Baptist church. And although I would certainly differ in a lot of his doctrinal stands, I certainly agree with some of his perceptions of the problem that we're discussing here this morning. He said in a statement, he said, a certain cultural moment in American life sees Christianity as a mood rather than a life-changing truth. Like the Willie Nelson concert where the singer seamlessly transitions from Whiskey River to Amazing Grace. And, you know, I've certainly seed some of our country and western singers just can be very religious at moments and sing those songs and then go right into songs of sin and encouraging the sinful lifestyles. But, you know, he hit the nail on the head. A lot of people see Christianity as a mood. It's a momentary thing. It's, you know, I'll feel religious for the moment and then I'll go and sin like the rest of the world whenever I want to. It's a religion of convenience for some. And God never intended for it to be a religion of convenience. He encourages us to transform ourselves, to not conform to the rest of the world, but transform. And that word's important. It means to make a solid and committed, and there's a word we could preach a lot about this morning, a solid and committed change in our lives. To commit ourselves to a lifestyle, to commit ourselves to a faith in which we walk and we strive to be in daily, not just when the mood hits us, not just when it's convenient for us to do so. Secondly, this morning, if we are going to profess to be Christians, we need to show the world that we are Christians. In other words, we need to be the lights that Christ commanded of us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Do you realize what he just said? Go evangelize with your life. We can actually show people God by the life that we live, but we've got to be lights. Lights that shine in the age of darkness. We'll look at that verse in just a moment. But we are commanded by Christ to show that we are different. There should be something about us that He wants others to see. Well, what is that? Him? We should be showing people Christ. I don't know if I've said this here before, but if this is the first time, it won't be the last time. Folks, there's not very many people that are just going to sit down that are lost in the world and they're going to sit down and they're going to pick up the Bible and start reading the Bible and come to the Lord. A lot of them are going to have to see Christ. And the only way they're going to see Christ is if you and I show them Christ. We have to be the lights that evangelizes to others. We have to be giving them examples of what Christ stands for and what He wants in our lives. So, again, whether you want to accept it or not, we're setting an example for something. It's either a good example or a bad example. But Christ would have us set His example and show others His existence by the life that we live. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15 says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning." That's going to be one of the first detailed subjects we're going to do next Sunday morning, okay? Grumbling and complaining. You know, there's a difference there, and there's something else that we can do that's a lot better than grumbling and complaining. "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Let me just ask you a question this morning. Do you think this is a righteous world? Do you think this is a righteous nation? I mean, I know we still call ourselves one nation under God. I don't believe that anymore. I don't have much faith in that. I'm seeing us be one nation away from God, closer than one nation under God. I don't think that we're a righteous nation. And so when you take a look at what we're living in, and you see, and it's an obvious thing to see, you can see the direction that our nation's going and that people want to live in life. When you see that, you realize, you know what? Things haven't changed. It was a wicked and perverse generation in the time that Paul writes that, and it's still a wicked and perverse generation that we're living in today. So what does Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell us? Be different. Shine as lights. Show them something different. Show them there's a better way to live life. Show them that there's a better purpose towards how we live our life. You know, there's a lot of people living life and they have no purpose but to just get to the next day and live it as pleasurably as they can. That's their only purpose. It's only Christ and Christianity that gives us a purpose to live each and every single day. We have purpose for our lives, and our purpose should be to worship and serve our Lord and bring as many lost souls as we possibly can to Him. And we can do that by our very own examples. I believe that there are people living in the darkness of sin, and they want a light to lead them out of darkness. You know, I'm not so negative on our nation and our community and our state, you know, and all these. I'm not so negative on everybody to think, well, you know, they just don't care. They don't want righteousness. I believe that there are a lot of people within our world. I believe there's a lot of people in this community that have suffered from the consequences of sin for so long that they're saying to themselves, there's got to be a better way. The way I'm living my life is not the way that I need to be living it. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better solution so that I can avoid all these problems within my life. Brothers and sisters, we've got the answer for them. We've somehow got to get connected with them to give them that answer. But there are people looking for the light, and we need to be that light. You know, whenever I was living out in western Oklahoma back in the 90s mainly, but also last 3 years, there was, you know, one of my pastimes that I enjoyed was hunting. I loved to deer hunt, and there was lots of deer out there in the 90s especially. But in western Oklahoma, if you're going to hunt deer, you have to go to the fields that have got what is called shinry thickets. Shinry thickets are just, it's a type of oak that doesn't grow real tall, but it's real thick, and they got long root systems, and they're just all over the place. And if you don't try to do something with them, they will take over an entire pasture. In some of the areas out there, that's all there is just shinery thickets and that sort of thing. But they're great deer habitat. And there's also these thickets called plum thickets. And just wild plums grow up in these things, but they get thick as well. So, you know, there's a lot of habitat for deer and quail and that sort of thing. But whenever I would go hunting, I'd go out in the early mornings, and it would still be dark. And, you know, for a long time, I did as my dad taught me to do. He'd always say, take a flashlight with you and go find your place and set down your stand and get ready for the deer. Well, I remember one morning, I thought, you know, I knew there was a huge buck wandering in this pasture. And I thought, you know, what I really need to do is I need to be very quiet and not draw attention to myself as I go in to this pasture, to this stand. And I think the way I need to do that is don't use my flashlight. Just leave my flashlight in the pickup. Because, you know, I was afraid that, you know, the deer would see my flashlight and see the light and leave the pasture, and I wouldn't have a chance. So I go and leave the flashlight in, and I start off walking. I didn't go 20 steps before I bumped into a plum thicket and tripped. And then so I get myself up, and I continue to try to make my way through there, and all of a sudden, slap, right in the face, shinery thicket. And throughout the course of me going this 200 yards to my stand, I was tripped, I was slapped, I had scratched, I was bloodied. Finally, I made it to my stand. But I had made enough noise to run off every single deer in that pasture, all because I didn't want to use my light. You know, God has given us a light to avoid the pitfalls of sin. And if we don't have that light, we're going to fall in. If we don't have that light, sin's going to slap us in the face. Sin's going to scratch us. Sin's going to bloody us. We need that light. And not only do we realize that we need that light, but we are the light to others who are in need. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, David realized the necessity and the need for God's word. And so it is that we as Christians need to be the lights to others. We need to show others how to avoid sin within their lives. And we should care enough about the lives of those around us to show them the lights of Christ. In conclusion this morning, Christians need to be different than the rest of the world. That's the concluding summation of all this. We need to show that we're different. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 tells us about a time in which Paul and some others are causing some notices to be made about them. You know, they go into this city, they're preaching the gospel, people are starting to respond, and not everybody was happy about it. And some of the ones that weren't happy, they dragged some Christians before them. And here in verse 6, it says, and when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. You know, what would cause someone to say, these people who turned the world upside down? They were obviously acting different, weren't they? There was something different about them. And not only were they different, but the effects of their differences were being noticed and being seen. And it was causing changes in people's lives. Again, not everybody was happy about that. But as Christians, we need to be living lives that's turning the world upside down. Instead of the world turning us upside down, we need to be turning the world upside down. And if we will do that, then we will be the light and we will be the examples and we will be a congregation or a church that will attract people to it. Because people, we will show them that we have something that they're going to want too. Something that's different from what the rest of the world has to offer. Something that offers purpose. Something that offers salvation for their souls. Something that offers for them a map and a course that will help them to avoid the pitfalls of sin within their life. You know, we need to be different for the people who are lost within our society. So the next few weeks, we're going to, you know, I'm going to become a meddler. But understand, I'm going to step on some toes. I'm going to be stepping on my toes back behind the pulpit. You're just not going to be able to see it like you are be able to see your own. We're going to get down to Christian living. We're going to look at what we do and what the Bible encourages us to do on an everyday basis. And we're also going to look at what the Bible tells us not to do on an everyday basis. But little things are important, you know. It's so often that we want to dwell in the doctrine and we kind of want to dwell in the big things of spirituality without looking at the small things that we do on an everyday basis. And I don't want to just preach sermons that, you know, you just kind of go home and you forget the next couple of days. There's going to be challenges, personal challenges at the end of every sermon that I think, and I've done this before and had really good results, that will help us to reflect on what we're doing on a daily basis. Help us kind of to focus a little bit more on the kind of light that we're shining to others. So I want to start that next week. And I hope that you'll be here and be inviting others. And I think it'll be a really good series of lessons on Christian living. This morning, if you're here and you haven't started your walk with God, I believe with all of my heart that there is no greater way to live life than to live it for Christ. Not only because of the way that we avoid so many of the bad consequences of sin, but because it is only through Jesus Christ that we can receive salvation and have a hope of living with Him in heaven. If you're here this morning, you have the opportunity to start your walk with God. And the plan is very simple to follow, as all the early Christians showed us in the book of Acts and as the teachings apply to us in the New Testament. The Bible says that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be willing to confess that before others. We need to repent of our sin that separates us from our God. And we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins so that we may be numbered amongst the saved and our citizenship placed in heaven. And then we need to live our life obediently. That means get out there, shine as lights. That means separate ourselves from the world, transform our minds, and make a difference by the way that we live each and every day, faithful unto the Lord. If you're here this morning, you haven't obeyed the gospel and would like to do so, we are ready and willing to assist you if you'll but come while together we stand and sing.